Immortal Duty by Nick Keim. Read by Jonathan Keeble. I have erred, and so I must atone. I lived when I should have died, and so I must become immortal. Oath of the Immortals. On my knees, I faced the ship's deck. The contorted faces of my brothers stared back, frozen in their last tormented moments. My name is Aram Gallicus, and I am immortal. But this was the day that I was supposed to die. It was my right, my destiny, one that I alone set in motion long before the fields of our greatest ignominy, long before Istvan. A chill pricked the skin at the nape of my neck, between the black adamantium gorget and a closely shorn scalp of coal dark hair. At first I thought it was the starship's atmospheric recirculation, lacing the air with frigidity, until I realized it was the axe blade poised in judgment. Mercifully, the edge remained enervated, or I would surely have been dead already. But then why imbue it with an actinic sharpness when a simple heft and cleave will do the job just as well? Logic, efficiency, temperance. Forged together, these words were our creed. A bond of iron, I always believed. Where was this alloy in our father when he needed it most? Again, as they often did in those days of bereavement and grief, my thoughts turned to melancholy.
Aram,
uttered a voice from the shadows surrounding me, as sharp as the naked blade against my flesh.
Tell us.
He used my given name, the one afforded to me by the chieftain of Clan Garsak, and it grated in my ears. He had no right to use that name. I am Legionary Gallicus, Order Primae, I replied with minimum respect. Back then, I saw it as needless theatre, all of this.
Gallicus, then,
uttered the voice a second time, the irritation in its timbre unmasked.
We have questions. You will answer them.
The axe blade descended incrementally, nicking my skin to draw a bead of blood. I saw my breath fog in the cold, stagnant air, felt the thrum of the obstinate impulse engines resonating from the lower decks, heard every minute adjustment of my interrogator's posture in the low, predatory growl of his armor. I was at peace, ready for my duty to end. My immortal duty. I lowered my head a fraction in gentle supplication. My interrogator took that as an indication to proceed, which it was, in a way.
Tell us of the Retiarius.
The name of that vessel put fire in my veins, banishing the cold of the hangar deck as my mind was cast back to hot halls, crimson and black, sweat, blood, death. It all collided in a moment of searing recollection. It did nothing to warm the frozen flesh of the battle brothers who stared back at me. Dead eyes fixed wide in their decapitated heads. I wondered briefly if the method of execution was meant to be symbolic, ironic, or inadvertently in bad taste.
Tell us what you remember.
I remembered fire in the upper atmosphere of Istvan, and hell raining across the heavens. But this was amorphous, an impression only, an emotional response. I considered the possibility of sanction if I had admitted that. Emoting is supposed to be anathema to the Iron Tenth. I'm sometimes led to wonder if life itself is, too. Instead, the first memory hit me. It felt like a mailed fist, but sang with the thunder of a battle barge's opening broadside.
Blood of Medusa!
Morden was seldom given to such outward expression, but our path to the Retiarius was proving volatile. Harnessed in the assault ram's dual prows, my brothers were giving off the same, albeit unspoken, sentiment. Catus gripped his breaching shield double-fisted and held it across his chest like a totem. The bionic eye he wore in his right socket flared with nerve-induced auto-calibration. Sombrak ground his teeth. He was my shield brother and did it before every battle. It was loud and discordant because his jaw was cybernetic. Most of us were patched up thusly, our broken bodies rebuilt so that we could wage war one final time. This was my eighth final time. Fate could be cruel like that. Azoth was the last brother I knew well, though in all there were 10 souls armoured in Medusan black in the hold. The rate of attrition was grievous amongst our ranks, and I soon found little need to learn names. Of all my brothers, those known and unknown, Azoth was the most prone towards rhetoric. When we were made immortal, our father stripped us of rank and title. Reforged, our new calling was a badge of shame to all in our legion, and we lost our old identities. I believe that Azoth had been a Frater Ferrum, an Iron Father, before he fell from grace. He still had the gaps in his armor where they had unbolted his servo arm. Whatever he had been before, now he was our sergeant. He called out to us, bellowing against the tumult within the hold.
Forlorn hope! Our ranks have never been breached. Be steadfast!
I could hear the servo grind of his gauntlet as he gripped the haft of his thunderhammer.
Be resolute! Our dishonor demands it of us. Death awaits. We do not fear it, for what is death?
To those who are dead already, I roared in unison with my brothers.
He had a way with words, old Azoth. I think I will miss him the most. Warning klaxons sounded, coinciding with a rush of crimson light flooding the low ceiling above us. We were close, but that was no guarantee of us reaching the Retiarius intact. Over 30 assault rams were cast out into the void, all ridden by Medusan immortals. I doubted that even half would make it through. Acestus was a durable vessel, fashioned specifically for this purpose. It was fast, too, but the sheer amount of weapons fire erupting between the two larger vessels across the Gulf of Space was intense. Great tracts of the void separated the Gorgonesque and the Retiarius, littered with silent explosions like scarred nebulae, and immense clouds of rapidly dispersing shrapnel. To us, aboard our diminutive assault ram, it was a long and perilous journey. To those two great behemoths, it would be regarded as close range. As our hull shuddered with every close impact, the inertial suppression clamps held us steady. I closed my eyes and imagined our destination. I had seen the Retiarius before, during the Great Crusade. Back then it had been an ugly, hulking vessel, well suited to its brutish occupants. Its flanks were stained azure and dirty white, the echo of legionary warplate. Slab-nosed and upscaled, with muscular fighter bays and ablative armor plating, it was reminiscent of a pugilist in the form of a starship. I felt our punch resonate through the Cestus's hull, a glass fist striking a jaw of steel. Were it not for the magna melters burning furiously to soften the Retiarius's formidable hide, then we would have been dashed to wreckage in an eye blink. As it was, we bit deep. Our glass fist had shards, and these had cut the outer flesh of the much larger vessel. We broke through amidst an evaporating cloud of ferric smoke, our small assault ram having bored through the starship's hull and clamped securely in place. Disgorged onto a dark, semi-lit hangar, we had little time to get our bearings before counterboarding troops arrived to try and repel us.
Lock shields!
Azoth bellowed out the command, but we had already begun to form up. It was an archaic tactic, reminiscent of the Romani or Grecans of old Earth, but it was effective. Much about war endures, fraternal conflict being foremost in my mind, as we breached a vessel that we had once considered to belong to our allies. But it was mortal armsmen and not our erstwhile brothers in arms, the World Eaters, that we faced upon that deck. A strong, determined fusillade hit us first, hot las raining in from hastily erected weapons teams and broken firing lines. We held, soaking up their fire, taking everything they threw at us without flinching. And then we pushed on, moving as one, the aegis of our breacher shields impenetrable to the brave men and women who had come to stop us. Despite their obvious disadvantage, the Retiarius's mortal troops went in close. Three further assault rams had struck this section of the ship, and all four squads came together before the armsmen hit us. Their solid-shot weapons and mauls proved fatally ineffective. The feeble momentum of their attack was dispersed when they shattered against our shield wall, and we absorbed the impact before returning it tenfold. Medusan war oaths cut the air as cleanly as any blade, and almost as deadly. The mortals quailed before our seeming inviolability and fury. I battered my first opponent, letting the blood from his broken skull spray against my shield before I finished him. The stomp of my foot was all it took, and suddenly I was pushing forwards with my immortal brothers. I shot a second through the cheekbone, his face erupting into mist as the mass reactive shell exploded. I barged a third, splitting ribs. A fourth fell back in front of me against our advance, and I severed his neck with the edge of my breacher shield, barely noticing the blood wash against my armored boot. Our purpose made us ruthless. A blockade around Istvan's upper atmosphere was preventing the 10th Legion from reaching its farther, with the Retiarius just one of the vessels impeding our path. Our mission was simple. Our Iron Fathers had been clear. Destroy the ship by any means possible. If that meant our deaths, so be it. Inexorable, inevitable, we crushed the counter-assault forces from the Retiarius. Then we cut down the weapons teams, then the deckhands, until every crewman in sight was slain. It was an honorless but necessary act. After this, we broke ranks to quickly neutralize the rest. The deck was slick with enemy blood, but it was hard to discern in the dull light.
"Where are we?"
asked Morden. "Aft of the Engineerium, I think," I replied. I knew a little of the vessel's layout, insofar as it would adhere to extant expeditionary fleet schemata. "In one of the smaller hangar bays near the ship's outer skin." A relatively small chamber with a low ceiling and bare deck plate underfoot, the hangar would have been used to cloister the Retiarius's various smaller interdiction craft. For now, it was empty of starfighters and assault craft, the world-eaters having disgorged their entire complement to duel with the Iron Hands vessels attempting to break through the blockade. Instead, ammo hoppers and riggers crowded the narrow space. Rigging chains hung down from overhead pulleys, gently swaying in the aftermath of the battle. Steam plumed from vents in the walls, and it was sweltering. A pervasive animal heat lathered every surface in a fine veneer of sweat. It stank. The vox feed in my ear crackled. Communal channel. As expected, the voice of Brother Captain Udris of the Gorgonesque came through the void static. Azoth told him that we had successfully made ingress and were moving deeper into the vessel. Resistance had been minimal. We all knew that would change.
"The blockade?"
asked Sombrek, when Azoth had finished receiving his orders from the Gorgonesque.
"Still intact,"
Azoth replied.
"We'll know if it isn't. These halls will be filled with fire. The walls will shatter and will be cast to the void. For now, they stand, so we must sunder them. The Averni are dying below us, brothers." "I would have liked to stand with the Gorgon one last time,"
said Catus, his head bowed. Azoth clapped a gauntleted hand on his shoulder. There was an underlying anger in the former freighter's tone. At the betrayal unfolding on Istvan, or the stripping of his rank, it could be either, or both.
"Aye, Catus, so would I. But we have our lot, and it's here, aboard the Retiarius."
We moved out, leaving the dead to fester in the heat. As soon as our breach had been detected by the bridge crew, the Retiarius locked down its bulkheads and sealed all blast doors, seeking to contain us in a non-vital part of the ship. While two of my brothers, with las cutters, went to work cleaving open the blast door to the hangar, the rest of us adopted a defensive posture. Azoth took me aside. His mood was grim.
"No word from the other squads," he told me. "Kuneda, Voris, Hakkar."
He shook his head.
33 assault rams went out. Currently, I only know of 4 that reached the Retiarius, and they stand in this hangar.
How far is the Engineerium?"
"It's relatively close," I said, recalling the schematics identically. But there are warrens of tunnels and chambers beyond those doors before we reach it. Azoth nodded, looking to my side rather than at me, as if I had just confirmed what he already knew in his gut. He spoke with some resignation. Well, this was always a suicide mission. Of all the immortals I had known and fought beside, Azoth seemed the least sanguine about dying to restore his impugned honor. Or perhaps it was dying with what he felt was his honor still impugned. Azoth was brave, the equal of any Iron Hands legionary, including the noble Averni, but I suspected his fervent wish was to return to the Order of Iron Fathers before he fell in battle. But we were ghosts now, all of us. Our honor as incorporeal to us as smoke. We had erred, and so we had to atone, or so the oath went. The blast door from the hangar went down, heralded by a resounding clang as it hit the deck on the other side. More gloom, more visceral darkness. Sweltering heat struck us like a fist, even more palpably than before. Impulse droning from the nearby engineerium was deafening. The thunderous report of broadsides trembled the deck underfoot, and the walls shook with vibrational recoil. Petrochemical stink merged with the actinic aftertaste of recently discharged laser batteries wafting upwards from the lower decks. A starship at war was as brutal a battlefield as any, but the Retiarius deserved infamous acclaim for its severity. The power-armored warriors who came at us from the sweat-drenched shadows were testament to that. First blood went to the World Eaters. Clad in beaten-up warplate, festooned in spikes and studs, the sons of Angron looked worthy of their name. Blood and grime tarnished them, lending further ferocity to an appearance where no more was needed. Froth bubbled up through their rebreather grills, and fever sweat scented the air. Savage, snarling, brutal, I saw animals coming at us from the shadows, not men. Their martial prowess was daunting, even to us. An immortal I did not know cried out, shield arm hanging slack, with his vulnerable shoulder joint cut and the tendons beneath it severed. A second blow went from left clavicle to right hip. After overcoming inertial resistance, the two body halves slid apart and spilled my brother across the deck. A plasma pistol at close range evaporated the head of another Medusan who reacted too slowly. Three more in the front few ranks were savagely gutted. Chain blades, both swords and axes, growled bestially. Like an animal that was suddenly aware that it had been wounded, we recoiled. First, we closed the breach from the door, keeping our enemy on the far side so they couldn't spill out and surround us. Then we fought back. A strong push that was as much about Medusan tenacity and grit as it was the durability of our breacher shields saw us gain a footing in the first corridor section beyond the blast door. Our enemy yielded to us, surrendering ground without choice, but then trammelled any further progress with ferocity and sheer weight of bodies. It was impossible to count, but I reckoned twice our number thronged the warren of corridors before us. We breached, every legionary in our forsworn company, and then the sons of Angron hit us like a hurricane of swords. Hot sparks flashed angrily off the edge of my shield as it met the burring chain blade of a world-eater. My enemy was unhelmed, revealing a face puckered with scar tissue and metal piercings. A chain looped from his ear to his nose, and a spiked bar skewered both cheeks. Tattoos that looked like kill tallies marked his neck, though the darkness made it hard to tell for sure. I mashed my shield into his body, and he staggered, grunting. Pressing my bolt pistol into the purpose-forged groove of my breacher shield, I shot him almost point-blank in the throat. Skull fragments and red matter rattled against my faceplate as the world-eater's head exploded. Grimly, I advanced a step. We all did. Azoth rallied us.
"Hold steady!" he roared. "Shields as one!"
They hit us again, raging, foaming at the mouth like rabid dogs. I felt the frenzied repeated axe strikes against my shield resonate down to my shoulder. It burned, and a numbness born from excessive muscular tension spread into my arm. Azoth was unrelenting.
"Hold!"
A few more seconds of battery passed before he said,
"Now, heave!"
Unified, ordered, strong. We advanced and threw our aggressors back. Their killing lust made them fearsome but profligate with their effort. One man, however skilled and ferocious, cannot hold back a tide. 100 men, if acting individually, will find themselves similarly disadvantaged. After their initial wild flurry, the world-eaters were struggling to break us down. After herding them from the breach in the blast door made by our lascutters, we found ourselves several meters into the warren of corridors. Compared to the hangar, it was confined, but wide enough for 6 shields abreast.
Form ranks!
Azoth was trying to impose further order. Unable to match their ruthless fury, it was the only way to break the world-eaters. Thrust to the front, I was shoulder to shoulder with Mordan and Catus. The former was an arch-fatalist who had surprised us all by living this long. The latter was a zealot who believed that strength came from adversity, and who revelled in his immortal calling. Different though they may be, the mutual determination bleeding off my brothers was both infectious and galvanizing. Behind us, I could sense Azoth's desire to be a part of the fighting rank, to prove that his shaming had been unjust. His shield was against my left shoulder guard, stalwart and unyielding. Sombrak had the right, as staunch as an iron buttress. Not once had I seen him ever take a backward step in combat. As well as our former ranks, our clans were also scoured from us. To be immortal is to be alone. But despite this abject form of penitence, I felt as closely bonded to these warriors as if they were all from Garsak, and not spread the length and breadth of Medusa. The world-eaters hit us hard, with a renewed strength born of rage. Bloodied, they carried on unbowed, proving as tough and determined as we knew them to be. I had seen their war-making firsthand, not as an enemy, but as an ally. I earned my shame that day on Golthia, during the Great Crusade, not long after we were reunited with our father. Inside the Retiarius, we reached as far as a cross-junction before our progress was arrested. A hulking dreadnought almost filled the corridor ahead of us with its sheer bulk. Our sudden stall also prompted world-eaters to attack us from either flank. Our steady advance was stopped at the nexus of the junction, forcing us into an arrow wedge. Catus and 3 others stormed the monstrous war engine. One of its weapon arms was missing, and I suspected it had been in the midst of ground deployment preparation when we breached the vessel. Instead, it had been reassigned to stop us getting any further. Sombrak carried a melter charge, so did 3 other immortals in the boarding party. Allowed to detonate in the engineerium deck, these incendiaries would wreak havoc on the Retiarius. Leading with his shield, Catus took a bruising blow that dashed him against the wall. His power pack ruptured, and the small explosion threw him forwards into the Contemptor's lightning claw. He spat blood. It sprayed the inside of his helm and leaked out through a crack in his faceplate. He was dead before he hit the ground. Bolt shells caromed off the Contemptor's armored hide from the other 3 immortals who had charged with Catus, but they were no more than irritants. The dreadnought battered 2 of them down with its claw, gouging 1 through his shield and crushing the other under its armored foot when the Iron Hand lost his footing. The 4th immortal was Mordan, the only one to be alone out of the group that had gone forwards to engage the monstrous Contemptor. He wasn't alone for long. A renewed shield wall rushed up to join him. I tried to suppress a twinge of envy at my brother's glorious death as I advanced on the dreadnought. It swung again, blood boiling on its energized talons and filling the corridor with the stench of burned copper. Mordan and I put up our shields as one, but I felt every pound of the Contemptor's piston-driven force rattling down through my body. It put us both on our knees.
"Your mistake," I snarled, as Azoth waded into the gap left by Mordan and staved in the dreadnought's head with his thunderhammer.
Sombrak's Vulkite speared it through the chest in the same coordinated attack.
It staggered as if unable to comprehend the immediacy of its own demise and fell back into an inert heap of metal. The dreadnought's death barely registered with the other world-eaters. They were of the killing mind now and would not relent until either they or we were dead. For the first time since we had boarded the Retiarius, The thoughts of the Iron Tenth and the World Eaters aligned. We rode the storm of their fury. Without the Contemptor to break our ranks, the close confines of the corridors suited us.
Take it!
Shouted Azoth, now part of the front fighting rank where he belonged.
Take everything they've got!
Hammer blows pummeled our collective defense, but we held. The shield wall held, and we were able to advance. The base of my shield scraped the floor with every hard-won step. My shoulder burned from having to thrust it into the reverse side of my shield to keep the enemy from overrunning us. Our strength came from cohesion. If one link failed, then our entire chain would unravel. They hit us, we hurled them back. Each time we stood firm and absorbed the punishment, the World Eaters became more frenzied in their attempts to break us, and more reckless. It took over 18 minutes for us to kill every warrior berserker in the warren. By the time it was over, blood slicked the walls and drenched the deck beneath us, and we emerged into the next chamber weary but victorious. I'd expected to see the Engineerium. What we found was something quite different. A wide slope led from the corridor section's upraised bulkhead. We barreled out onto it, maintaining good order and swiftly redressing our ranks in the process. It led to a pit, little more than a hollow basin of bare, blood-stained metal. It had been recently cleansed, but some marks remained, the indelible legacy of a legion's bloodletting. More of our immortal brothers were waiting for us in the pit, impaled from groin to crown on ugly iron spikes. I counted 30, and balked at the realization that so few of us had even reached the Retiarius, let alone died on it. I heard the clenching of fists in impotent wrath, the muttering of vengeful oaths against the World Eaters. I kept my own emotions buried, but felt the deepest stirrings of hate begin to flare like a hot, angry welt against my pride. Azoth had been right in his assessment. This was a suicide mission. Glory and honor were not the rights of the damned, and we were damned men. Our shame had made us that. My shame had condemned me to that fate on Gorthia. It had been a bleak, ugly world. We were arrayed against the Ketid, a hairless, perversely humanoid alien species who had, like so many others during the coming of Old Night, subjugated the native human populace. Deep into the yawning mouth of Jareth Valley, we deployed clouds of phosphex to kill the grey-skinned aliens. But the Ketid had fashioned anabatic winds through their crude science. It turned our deadliest, most loathsome weapon against us. How we burned, the green flame flaying our flesh and turning our iron to naught but charred matter. Croan died first, our company's vexillary. Then Leoc, Garrick, Maedig. Until there was only me, Sombrak, and a handful of others left. Our flank had been crippled, and we too surely would have died, were it not for the berserkers clad in blue and white that descended from on high. We fought with them, but only in a supporting role. It was meant to be our victory. The World Eaters lauded us for our courage. I stood at the shoulder of Varkan Wrath, a legionary of singular skill, who thanked me personally for my efforts. Sombrak and the rest of our surviving Iron Kin made similar sword brothers. Alas, our father did not see it thusly. I have wielded a breacher shield ever since. I have often reflected on the cruelty of that, and how the battle of Gorthia mirrored that aboard the Retiarius in both its desperation and ferocity. At the edge of the pit on board the Retiarius, the World Eaters were waiting for us. Unlike the ones we had defeated in the Warren, these men were armored more like gladiators. I knew them. I had seen them emerging from the burned metal teardrops of their deep insertion pods through the dissipating phosphex mist that had claimed over half my company before the alien Ketid attacked. Savage
even back then, the rampagers were much changed. Unhooded, they wore their facial tattoos openly. Chains and thick veils of iron ringlets accented their white and blue power armor, the spikes entwined between the links presaging a darker aspect to come. Head to foot, they were swathed in gore, baked hard over their warplate by the Retiarius's immense engineerium heat. Without needing it confirmed, I knew in my marrow that the blood was Medusan, wrung from the tortured bodies of our brothers in the pit. One of the rampagers stood out amongst the rest. He nodded towards us, I thought. And then I realized he was actually gesturing to me.
Gallicus!
His voice boomed across the echoing space, resonating off the pit and the shattered breacher shields lining its walls.
Well met!
It almost sounded genial, a greeting. It was, of sorts, or rather, a challenge. It was Wrath. There could be no mistaking my former comrade in arms. It was blunt nomenclature for a gen-enhanced instrument of war that was anything but. He was an exemplary swordsman and wielded a blade in each hand as if to prove it. I needed none. He had gutted Ketid on those blades like they were swine. Phalanx, they were called, or so Wrath had told me.
If you want to reach the Engineerium, then this is the battleground you must cross to do it, he said,
calmly gesturing to the pit where they had staked our brothers out to die. He nodded to me again.
I'll give you a good death. You've earned that right.
I wanted to crush him, for his unintended condescension and the barbarous way his kin had treated mine. I almost heard our sword bond break in his casual laughter.
Some yet live,
cried Sombrak, who jabbed a finger at an immortal twisting on his metal spit.
Blood of Medusa!
Morden's gauntlets cracked as they clenched tighter around the handle of his shield. Wrath was smiling. All the rampagers were smiling. Azoth had seen enough.
Kill them! Avenge the fallen!
He roared. And every iron hand in our slowly dwindling company drew swords and mauls. For what the rampagers had done, we would have our vengeance at close quarters. Our desperate assault was over. All we had left was retribution and, some believed, a last chance for honor. Our immortal duty. To their martial credit, the World Eaters waited until we were halfway across the pit before they rushed to engage us. Then we clashed. There was no order to it, no unity, just blood. We outnumbered the rampagers 2-1, but in the first 8 seconds of the battle, those odds were slashed drastically. As I closed on Wrath, briefly allying with Morden to bring down one of the rampagers and watching the World Eater gut one of my brothers in return, I considered the very likely fact that we had been allowed to get this far. That we had been drawn here, for the prospect of a good fight. Perhaps Angron needed his psychotics to have their blood up before he unleashed them. Their arrogance would unstitch them, I decided. Wrath and I met in the center of the arena. I still had my shield. It would be a vital barrier against my opponent's twin phalanx, but had drawn a gladius in lieu of my holstered pistol. Blade to blade. Honor demanded no less. At first, Wrath seemed to appreciate the gesture, but then his face locked up in an expression of pure, agonized rage. His eyes widened, the spontaneously rupturing veins turning the sclera a deep, visceral red. No trace of the man remained. Now there was only a beast. For almost 3 minutes he hacked into my shield as I mustered a desperate defense. He only stopped when Sombrak tried to wade in and relieve me. Despite his murder blindness, Wrath reacted on instinct. He half-parried Sombrak's thrust and let the blade pierce his side. With the other phalanx, he cut off Sombrak's head. I sagged back, too exhausted to take advantage of Wrath's distraction. My breacher shield was split down the middle, the arm holding it numb to lead. I watched Sombrak's body slump to its knees and his head roll away into shadow. Then Wrath turned, exultant with the kill, and came again for me. No martial quarter was given this time. Wrath was drunk on murderlust. His phalanx came in high, and I twisted to let my shoulder guard take the blow. It found the vulnerable join between the metal plates of my armor and cut all the way down to the mesh beneath, cleaving through to my flesh. Blood welled instantly. I felt it seep into my armpit and gum around my chest. The second blade I blocked, turning it aside before aiming a stabbing thrust that sank my gladius two-thirds of the way into Wrath's midriff. It was a debilitating wound, meant to slow and eventually incapacitate. Wrath showed no sign of either. We were up close. I could smell his charnel breath. A savage headbutt smashed my faceplate, cracking the retinal lenses and sending the glass splinters back into my face. An elbow strike put me on one knee before Wrath brought the phalanx round into my flank where it lodged like a nail. I screamed. He roared. The end was near. My immortal duty almost dispensed at last. I saw my breacher shield, smashed apart and discarded on the deck. Other shields and the bodies of my brothers had joined it. We should never have broken our ranks, given in to hate and fury. Ours was a colder creed, one of reason and the inviolability of tactical logic. We had erred, and now our atonement was due. Head bowed, I felt a chill progress through me. It matched the cold, disembodied sensation of my cybernetics. But the blow did not fall. My neck and head remained attached. Instead, I heard the klaxon drone of emergency sirens as the arena was flushed with red urgent light. Azoth had fought his way from the pit. He was wounded, and his thunderhammer was bloody, but he still stood. He was venting the chamber, releasing everything into the void. The World Eaters had not cleansed the pit before. They had purged it in the vacuum of space. My brother had found the mechanism, and did so again, only with us and our enemies present. In the few seconds I had left, I saw the grim resignation on Azoth's face. This wasn't how he had wanted it to end. Then I was yanked out by the venting pressure. I felt light, and not just because of the absence of air and gravity. Wrath's last defiant roar was stolen in that rushed exhalation, pitched into silence in dark and starless space. He swung for me, out of compulsion from whatever fueled his rage, rather than petty impotence, but the slow cut of his phalanx missed its mark. Laz flashes cut through the darkness, spearing us on their incandescent beams. Wrath was shredded. So too were my brothers. I saw Azoth impaled through the chest before I was struck a glancing blow. I spun, fading in the endless void, just another piece of debris. The vista of the battling starships expanded before me, terrible and beautiful at once. Broadsides carved through kilometers of space. Explosions bloomed, abject in their quietude. The Gorgonesque was listing, her engines dead, her shields and armor stripped bare. Her warp drives going critical was like the dawning of a miniature sun, a silent flash of awesome light that seared my retinas. I rode the resulting bow wave of pressure, my armor crystallizing with hoarfrost, even as I felt the explosive burn of the Gorgonesque's dramatic last breath. I remember little more after that, I told my accusers, the obstinate's black deck resolving before me as I left the memory of the Retiarius behind. Save waking in your apothecarian and being marched to this hangar bay for summary judgment. I could not keep the bitterness from my voice.
Well, you believe you are being treated harshly, Legionary Gallicus?
I declined to reply. My head bowed with the cold weight of the axe blade upon my neck. The dead stares of my decapitated brothers frozen on the deck seemed mocking, and I was about to join them. Before you kill me, I said at length, tell me, did we break the blockade? My accuser came forwards into the light. I heard some gesture he made, the whirring of old servos in a wrist or elbow, and felt the pressure against my neck ease. I looked up into the face of an iron father, but not one that I recognized. He was badly scarred, and his left cheek and part of his skull shone dully in the half-light. A tight grey beard like wire wool was shaved into a spear tip on a jutting imperious chin. The venerable Iron Father looked down upon me like I was the dirty oil he had to scrape from his weapons.
"We failed," he replied. "We were weak."
There were two others with him, a salamander and one of the Raven Guard. "This is barbaric," I heard the son of Vulcan mutter, despite the low hum of the Obstinate's impulse engines partly masking his voice. His eyes flared like burning coals. The Raven Guard gently raised his hand, warning the salamander to silence, and they stepped back as one. This was Ironhand's business, conducted in the Medusan way, as our father had taught us. I was finding it hard to process the situation. The incongruous presence of the other Legion warriors, the mood of fatalism emanating from the Iron Father. Then there was the last figure in the room with me, my would-be executioner, one I felt I recognized, and that stirred a disquiet in me that I could not explain at the time.
"Then what are our Primarch's commands? Is Horus defeated? Is Istvan still contested?"
I had so many questions.
"What of the Retiarius?"
The Iron Father shook his head sadly.
"It's over, Legionary Gallicus. You were the sole survivor of the attack on the Retiarius. The war for Istvan is done. We lost..."
He paused as if to telegraph the blow that was coming so I could be ready for it.
"Ferus Manus is dead."
"Dead?" I tried to rise from my knees, but a strong hand held me down.
"Release me!"
I snapped, turning to meet the haunted eyes of an old friend. For a moment, I let slip my other concerns. "Azoth?" He gave no recognition of the fact I'd just spoken his name. I thought he had died, and yet here he was, aboard the Obstinate. But something was very wrong. His flesh looked cold, jellied, like the severed heads in front of me. Azoth's fire had been extinguished. Ice filled his veins and countenance. A dead man stood before me with the axe, dead and yet animate, bereft of any sense of cognition that would mark him out as the warrior I once knew.
"What have you done?"
"What was necessary. Horus defeated us, scattered us, shattered our legions."
Looking back at the Iron Father, I saw he held my breacher shield. It had been reforged, made whole, even as we ourselves had fractured.
"You have erred," he said, "and so you must atone."
I took the proffered shield, stunned into silence by the revelations I had just heard. The Iron Father met my gaze, and I saw the determination in his eyes, the bitterness and soul-shriving desire for revenge.
"Such is the fate of all immortals,"
uttered a voice behind me. The voice of Azoth, the echo of our damnation.
That was Immortal Duty by Nick Kine, read by Jonathan Keeble.